Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. In for Greg Corumbus, I'm Brett Witterbull, joined by Jim Garrity. Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Brett, good to be here.
Good to be here as well. All right, Jim, I think we're in the mood for some martinis, my friend. It's been a long and arduous week, and I think we're ready for a few of these fun martinis and some good martinis and some bad martinis and, yes, a weird martini or two. But coming up here, I see the very, very good martini coming our way, and it's the media. And they're saying no to Eric Holder and an off-the-record request. What's going on here, Jim?
Yeah, it's not often folks like you and I are saying attaboy New York Times or CNN or other, you know, mainstream media institutions. But so Eric Holder wants people to know that he feels very, very bad about the snooping around in the Associated Press phone records and the accusation that Fox News reporter James Rosen was part of a criminal conspiracy. And he really wants to let Washington News bureau chiefs know how bad he feels about this. And he wants to clear the air and get everybody together and get everybody feeling good about it. It's a beer summit, you might say, of sorts for Eric Holder. Naturally, when he wants to talk about how he wants to be open with the press, he wants to end the hostility of the press, he doesn't want to criminalize the act of journalism, how he supports the unfettered right of journalists to do their jobs to inform the public, and naturally he wants to do it off the record. Some people might detect a bit of a contradiction in that. Hey, wait a minute, you know, if this is really important that press be able to do their jobs, why can't they quote what you're saying to them about how much you respect their right to do their jobs? So they asked various, you know, media institutions to meet with Eric Holder off the record. And in a sign that, you know, some of these institutions have some spine, they said, wait a minute, you know, no, we're not going to agree with this, because while lawmakers and reporters talk off the record or on background or on stuff like that all the time, this is a fairly important matter, i.e., why did you kind of assert that one of our colleagues is a criminal for doing his job? And if Eric Holder's got a defense, he should make it to the public. He should, you know, whatever is worth saying there. Also, I think the media is starting to wake up and realize, you know, that whatever was going to go on in this off-the-record session, you know, it probably was a spin session. It probably was a sales pitch. It probably would have been something in the neighborhood of, oh, baby, I still love you. I just did that because I was so mad about those crazy right-wingers and stuff like that. And basically, a good chunk of the press has said, you know what, we're not going to go along with this. Ironically, I believe the Washington Post so far said they would agree to the off-the-record meeting. I love the quote or the tweet earlier in the day from, I believe it was Iowa Hawk, who said, hey, what happens if Holder invites people to an off-the-record meeting and the only person who shows up is Fox News' James Rosen? Fantastic. Yeah. Bit of irony. I suppose at that meeting, a really awkward moment would be when Holder reads aloud from these people's emails. But so look, I mean, basically it looks like the press is starting to push back against Eric Holder and kind of say, look, you know, we are not your stenographers. We are not your easily manipulated toys and folks you can easily spin. If you got something to say to us, you're going to have to say it on the record. You can't tell us on background that everything's hunky-dory and we go to our readers and say, oh, Eric Holder told us stuff that we can't quote that makes everything cool. So I think this is an effort of Eric Holder to get himself out of hot water, and I think it's falling short, and so that makes it our good martini for the day.
That is wonderful. I love it. I love every bit of it, and we root for the tension to continue, certainly between the press and the Department of Justice. All right, well, here's a very, very bad one. This is a very bad, sneaky, secretive kind of we-didn't-know-the-full-story sort of a martini. What's going on here? You got Dan Shulman, multiple visits to the White House, but even more than cabinet members? What's going on here, Jim?
Yeah. Turn the clock back to last summer. Hillary Rosen, who was a former lobbyist and Democratic talking head, makes the obnoxious comment about Ann Romney having never worked a day in her life. And, you know, a lot of folks on the right say, hey, you know, Hillary Rosen isn't just, you know, any old Democratic talking head. She's very close to the White House. And, of course, you know, David Axelrod and folks say, no, she's totally not tied with us at all. And then they went and they checked the White House visitor logs, and Hillary Rosen visited like a whole bunch of times. I want to say it was like 40 or so. But I started looking for a comparison, and it turns out quite a few cabinet members actually don't go to the White House that often. Stephen Chu, Ray LaHood. Now, obviously, look, these cabinet members have their own offices, so they don't need to go to the White House every single day. But it is kind of interesting contrast when you see particular, you know, political spin folks and fixers and folks with lobbying ties going to the White House a little more often than, say, the Secretary of Energy or stuff like that. Well, here's the commissioner of the IRS, former commissioner, I should say, who apparently visited the White House 157 times during the Obama administration, which is an astounding amount of visits, more, you know, basically in the neighborhood of once a week. Now, when asked about this, you may recall during his testimony, Shulman's response was, well, you know, there was the White House Easter egg roll. Well, that's one. All right, maybe four. Okay, let's say he goes every year. It's like, my response to that was, I wonder why the Obama White House celebrated Easter 157 times in 4 years. So look, the idea that the White House had no idea what was going on with this IRS targeting of conservatives and, oh, nobody in the White House knew about it, nobody in the White House signed off on it, thought about it, you know, they were all totally in the dark, theoretically possible, but it certainly becomes harder to swallow when you hear, you know, that he had gone to the White House quite so often. But this is not like normal. They went back and they checked, and basically President Bush met with his IRS chief once in a four-year period. So, you know, this is not normal for the IRS to be going over to the White House so frequently, but it doesn't automatically mean that the White House was plugged into the targeting of conservatives from the beginning, but it certainly does kind of, would be one more piece of evidence to kind of be a certain skepticism of their narrative on this. So, and as somebody pointed out, Shulman went to the White House three times as often as Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, okay. But you know, the other thing also is, you know, Tim Guy, the Treasury Department, it's literally right next to the White House. So it's a short walk. So why is this guy going there so often? What are they talking about in all these things? So hopefully Darrell Issa will keep investigating in this sort of thing, but it certainly continues to emit an odor on this, and kind of unnerving that the White House and the IRS are working so hand in glove on this sort of thing.
Well, certainly a very bad martini, a very bad one indeed, and we'll leave it right there. Okay, I'm getting a weird one here. I got a weird one on the side of the bottle here. It's got a picture of Joe Biden. Looks like he's in a tropical destination, and it looks to me in this weird martini that he's talking about illegal immigrants at home, living in complete fear. What's going on, Jim Garrity?
Well, you know, as we've seen one scandal after another in the Obama administration, and Obama's out there giving his excuses and saying he didn't know anything about it, and he's as outraged as anyone, and, you know, Holder's giving his explanations. You look around this administration and you're kind of saying, hey, Biden's been quiet lately. Where is he? And the answer is he's been traveling overseas for a good portion of this week. Now, traditionally, that's part of the vice president's duties. And for a long time, people used to joke that the job of the vice president was to go to foreign funerals and attend the funerals of heads of state, and to handle all the meetings with foreign leaders that the president doesn't want to deal with. The president will handle, say, the United Kingdom or China or the big ones. But for every other mid-level to rinky-dink country, the vice presidential visit is what you get. Well, Trinidad and Tobago got the big visit from Vice President Biden this week. I'm glad that he is his finger is on the pulse of all of the hot topics of relationships between the United States and Trinidad and Tobago. He is going around South America and the Caribbean, and he is going to other bigger countries like Brazil and stuff like that. But if you ever got the feeling that Joe Biden was being stuffed in a closet somewhere, he's not being stuffed in a closet. He's being stuffed in a foreign closet, quite a few hundreds of miles away. So at some point, Vice President Biden is going to have to come back to this country. At some point, he is going to be in front of cameras and microphones, and people will ask him about these scandals. And, you know, we're just going to – I just hope we have enough martinis, Brett, because there's going to be more of this. You know, I can't wait until Biden starts assessing what went wrong and who's to blame and all this. Although – I suppose it's theoretically possible. Joe Biden might say, oh, yeah, Obama knew about this from the beginning. I thought it was a bad idea. And see how that goes.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think I should just start on impeachment right now. You know, I'm all for that, guys, and we'll see how that shakes out. So Biden has been suspiciously quiet, but we all know Biden's mouth is a lot like a all-pro running back. You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it. And yes. Biden's mouth will eventually break containment, I think, in the coming days or weeks.
Absolutely. Well, listen, that's three. Those are three fascinating, great, bad, and certainly weird martinis. All right. So at the top, you've got the White House telling the Attorney General to start talking to the press here. The press does not want to do off-the-record briefings with the Attorney General Eric Holder. You've got, in terms of the bad one, Douglas Shulman going to the White House 157 times, even more than Tim Geithner. And then finally, the weird one, Joe Biden pops up in Trinidad and Tobago to make his presence known. Well, listen, it's been a phenomenal three martini lunch week there, Jim Garrity. I appreciate getting to sit in here for Greg Corumbus. Thanks for sitting in with me. I'm Brett Witterbull. That's Jim Garrity. It's the three martini lunch. We'll talk to you next time.